All this week, we are spotlighting local films. Earlier this month, a documentary film entitled Rise of the Wahine, Champions of Title IX, was re-released with the idea it might reach a new audience and help educators share the story. We sat down with Dean Conoshiro to talk about his passion to document the fight for equity in athletics and the legacy of remarkable women here in Hawaii, Congresswoman Patsy Mink and School Superintendent Donis Thompson. Both of those women fought those early battles. Conoshiro talks about a recent event at the Hawaii Theater to celebrate the recut of the film and its release online.
Yes, it was a wonderful time, and it was fantastic because Hawaiian Miles was a partner of ours, and they sponsored this presentation, which was a celebration of now, shucks, you know, 7 years, 6 years of production and post-production and editing and cutting and putting this together. But it was a celebration with folks who were in the film, obviously the UH community, the Hawaii community, people who were a part of the film, Patsy, some folks from Patsy's family. And we were able to celebrate not just this recut of the film, but really now releasing it online so that people really anywhere in the world can now watch it.
And the significance of Title IX?
Yes. So, you know, honestly, when I first heard the story in 2010, I'd known nothing of Title IX. I'll just confess that out loud. And knew very little of Dr. Donis Thompson, who was the first woman's athletic director here at the UH in the early 1970s, really late 60s. When she came, Patsy Mink, of course, knew her name, but didn't know much more than that. And I've always watched Wahine volleyball on television, but didn't know that those three groups and of people and groups together really have this incredible story that happened right here in Hawaii in my own backyard, and I knew nothing of it. And the story spans all the way to Washington, D.C., where they're fighting. Patsy Mink, of course, the first Asian-American woman, first woman of color elected to Congress. Dr. Donis Thompson was an African-American woman from Chicago over here on this side. And then Beth McLaughlin, who was the first team captain of the first UH Wahine volleyball team in the early 1970s. And these three women, kind of, we just follow their interweaving stories. Of course, Dave Shoji is a part of that and others. So from Washington, D.C. and fighting for Title IX there, as well as then what was happening here locally and what did that battle look like here for equity in women's athletics. And of course, we talk about Title IX and educate folks just a little bit on that. Patsy Mink's role, not just as a co-author, but then as a champion of it to keep athletics within the bill. Because right after Title IX was signed, no one really knew that it was going to really include athletics. And then what did that mean, right? It was an education bill in that sense. Birch Bayh, of course, and Edith Green and others were a part of that. But it basically prohibits sex discrimination in any federally funded institution. And during that time, in the film, Dr. Bernice Sandler, who's known as the godmother of Title IX, we got to interview her, which is a humongous blessing. And so she was telling stories, just, you know, hey, we have two women in our law department. That's it. We're closed. You know, hey, we only have one woman. We take no women. It was just arbitrary that anybody could just do whatever they wanted. And so this originally was just a bill that said, hey, you can't do that anymore, basically. But once the NCAA and other coaches and football coaches and everything woke up to the fact, wait, what do you mean we have to share money? Does it have to be equal money with women now and these young ladies in college? So that's where the controversy exploded. And so from that happening on a national level and Patsy Mink being the leader of that fight to keep Title IX just the way it is, down to Donis Thompson, Beth, Dave, and others here locally birthing this little program with $5,000 and nothing to their name to try to make that alive. That's really what the film does, is bounce between those two and help us to understand, wow, what did these people have to do to create what we know today?
Now, I was very fortunate to have covered Patsy Mink and Donis Thompson when she was with the DOE. But like you mentioned, you didn't know them, and you're really bent on keeping the story alive for the up-and-coming generation so they appreciate
Correct.
What we've got.
Oh, yeah, definitely, right? And you would know. I mean, you're there. The difference between you and, let's say, my daughter, who's 12, you know, and my second daughter, or even just the young men that I have in my house, too. I have six kids in all, but from 17 down to 2. And they walk in, oh, I can be president of America. I can run this company. You know, these young ladies today, what they have and what they can see and what they can dream for, women that you were covering and you ran with and the doors that you were opening to during those years in the early 70s, which is not too far. I mean, we just throw a stone, you know, back in time. And that's life was so different. I mean, women were running half court in basketball. You know, I interviewed Pat Psyche and she's like, I couldn't even run full court. because they thought, you know, we were going to injure ourselves or something. Now you look, you know, you watch women playing basketball on television, they'll kill me. If I got on the court, I would die. They would run over me and destroy me. And so the world that young women and girls are, thank God, but they're birthed into it today, but they just don't know that who had to fight and battle and sacrifice to give them what they have today.
Right, the opportunities they have today.
Yeah, so thank God for the opportunities. So, but it's just a story that says, hey, this is what it took to get there. But I do want to say this, and especially obviously being a man too, it was more so me going, wow, this is how you change things. So it's not just a film for women, of course, and girls. I really want men and young men as well to not just open their hearts to the struggles of women, but it really crosses even sports fans even. It goes beyond athletics because really these folks were really changing culture. So that's really what the core message is in the first line of the film, and it's narrated by a good friend of mine, Sarah Wayne Callies, who's an actress in Hollywood, Prison Break, The Walking Dead. We went to high school together. But she starts by asking, what does it take to change the world around you? And so that was a humongous journey for me. And I'm telling you, these women, Faith Evans and Pat Psyche and others, when you're talking to them, Eve Anderson, I mean, they would go fight to, like, the drop of a hat, they would go into the battle. And that fire that they had in their bones, even to this day, many of them, some have passed away, impressed upon me greatly.
I remember there was a story, Patsy Mink said her daughter Wendy had wanted to run for student council when she was in mm-hmm. elementary school. And the teacher said, oh, you don't want to run for yeah. president, run for vice president.
Yeah, maybe you can be the vice because we got a young boy here who wants to. That's right. Wendy told that story. Actually, we couldn't put it in the film because there was just so much information, so many great stories. But that showed Patsy, wait a minute, this is now for my daughter, this is happening. And so that was a part of the fire, you know. And when she first went, to Washington, she was representing Hawaii, you know, and us. But when she got there, she recognized, whoa, there's a whole nother population, just women in general, who are not being represented as well. And so her shift of focus was able to, really zero in on those specific battles too. So, you know, and this woman's from Maui. This woman's from this little place. Who knows? I mean, she's short. She's in the middle of nowhere. It's like, that's another part of the message I wanted to get across is it doesn't matter where you are, where you're born, what you look like, what color, like you can change things. And what people don't know and Hawaii needs to know is that Title IX has been renamed in 2002 after she passed away, right, to her name, to Patsy T. Mink, Equal Opportunity and Education Act. I may have said that a little wrong, but I think that's what it is, Equal Opportunities and Education Act. And that's because she defended Title IX the way she did. But no one's talking about that. We need to know that.
Right. So a tiny lady who did great things.
Amazing thing. After being denied over and over and over again, 12 plus times, you can't go to medical school. You can't follow your dream. That's why she went to law school. And I think that she became a hero of mine because how easy do we give up in life? So easy with the dreams that we have.
And what made you decide to pursue this film? Because I know you worked on it with Ryan Tsuji, and I remember for years I would listen to Ryan, oh, I'm working on this documentary about Patsy Mink and Donna Thompson. And
yes, and of course Ryan Tsuji, who's a co-producer on the film, he was an assistant coach, right, with Dave Shoji for 8 years. And so he's very familiar with the program. So I knew him through some contacts, and I just said, hey, can you get me an interview with Dave? But then after a while, I just kept asking him, can you find me this person? And then Marilyn Moniz Kohanohano at UH, et cetera. And then he said, just give me your list, and then let's just do this together. You know. And I also reached out to a friend of mine, Tiffany, who's in L.A., who was a producer on the film as well. And so between the three of us, we were able to get different dynamics, different perspectives. And she really helped as well with the story because we didn't want to make it too Hawaii-centric either. And so her and her crew in L.A. were able to help us say, hey, what is going to make this most palatable to everybody in the nation and beyond as well? So the three of us really worked for many, many years and lots of edits, lots of cuts, trying to make it as exciting and dynamic for young people especially.
Right, the best film you could, and you've now re-released it. It's tighter and available online.
Yes, it is. It is available online. Yep, it's at riseofthewahinefilm.com. So it's a new site for us, riseofthewahinefilm.com. And folks can then click through there and then, purchase it. They can rent it. There's a special educators version there because there's bonus features. Because I had so much film, I had so much amazing interviews, I cut another 14, just kind of raw cut sort of interviews, a lot with Wendy Mink, Dr. Bernice Sandler, lots of others.
Lots of depth.
Lots of depth, yeah. And I didn't get pretty with it. I just kind of cut it, but long stuff. Lots about Donis, lots about Patsy's history, sex discrimination in the 70s, just other things that students who want to learn, especially about Title IX and what life was like back then, can watch those pieces there. So there's an educator's version that's licensed for classrooms and sports teams and special interest groups. And then there's also a form there for folks who want to screen the film. And now I'm working with some people on the mainland. They want to do fundraisers for sports teams and screen. But it's a family-friendly, you know, film. It's 75 minutes long. But it does move. And I'd say middle school age. We've screened it for 7th graders through 11th, and they can comprehend it. There is some history in there, of course. But it's an emotional film. It's a moving film. It's personal stories. And I think it's going to be inspiring for everybody, really, but hopefully especially for young people.
And I can tell you're proud of it.
I'm very proud of it, and I'm very happy, like another child that I'm releasing into the world, saying, go now and touch lives, you know, and challenge people. And again, I really hope dads and young men sit down, because that's what actually caused me to do the film. I said, you know what, as a man, I don't understand what these women have gone through. I want to just sit for a while and just listen and learn. And I think my life has been changed. My heart has been changed. And I'm trying to raise my sons to be sensitive as well to these kinds of issues.
Well, mahalo to you, Dean, and to Ryan for pursuing this for years. I know
it's
taken a long time.
Yeah, it's a labor of love. Yeah, riseofthewahinefilm.com. Folks can go there. They can reach out to us. They can purchase. They can rent and share it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dean Kaneshiro is the director, writer, and producer of the Rise of the Wahine Champions of Title IX. Born and raised in Hawaii, he's a local actor, video producer, and marketing director, as well as a husband of 20 years and a father of 6 children.